Oh, shit. Oh, pray God I'm not too late.
Shoot her, damn it!
She's still alive.
I pinned myself behind a tree, my heart hammering, trying my best to remain silent. Running full tilt through the snow has me gasping for breath, and my stomach muscles are aching from that punch in the kidneys earlier.
Can you still see her tracks? In the dark? In the woods? In this storm? What am I, the last freaking Mohican? Wait a second.
They sound close. I have to risk a quick peek.
There!
Shit!
Come on, girl! You got nowhere to run!
I bolt from behind the tree, crashing through some small branches, arms in front of me for protection as I barrel through the woods.
Damn it, girl! The more you make us run, the more I'm gonna have to hurt you!
Please! No! Get off!
I told you not to run!
Ross! Let her go!
His grip on me loosens and I twist around to see the man from Big Al's. Salazar. He has a gun pointed at my attacker. The broken-nosed man keeps a boot on my arm as he stands with his hands up in the air.
Martine, you need to mind your own business. Isabel ain't gonna like you interfering.
I work for the old man, not Isabel.
I'm warning you one last time.
I'm taking her back with me.
Don't try any of your special forces shit, Martine.
No! There's a shadowy form coming up!
Behind you!
Salazar instantly snaps a spin kick that knocks the gunman's pistol to the side so it fires wildly, but the man holding me fires his own gun. A plume of red fountains from Salazar's temple. He's dead. Oh, God, he's dead. I have no doubt of it, because his spirit rises up in front of me.
Got the son of a bitch! Nice shot, McKee.
I know what's gonna happen, and I don't want it. Not again.
No, no, please don't.
It's already done.
I'm not talking to him.
No!
What the?
Images of Martine Salazar's life spiral around me. Picking oranges at the age of 12. Playing football in high school. Salazar in uniform at basic training. A bombed-out building in the Middle East, probably Iraq or Afghanistan. Standing beside the bed of an emaciated man with a cannula and tubing under his nose.
Oh, no! Not again! I don't want this!
I'm lying in the snow. The man who killed Salazar kneels next to me, shaking his head.
What was that? What just happened?
You killed him.
No shit.
Whatever. This is as good a place as any.
What is this?
Salazar looks understandably bewildered as he hovers in front of me.
We were gonna make you dig your own grave, but...
You're dead.
What?
Salazar looks directly at me now.
But I need your help. I need your skill. Show me what to do.
I think I understand.
You tell me I'm a dead man, and then you want my help? You're more screwed up than I...
Shit!
I move without thinking, executing the same spin kick Salazar used seconds ago, knocking the gun from the black man's hand. Before his partner can react, I pivot toward him, and my palm strike crunches his nose. He staggers. As the black man comes up behind me, I smash an elbow into his Adam's apple.
Oh my God! Thank you! Thank you!
This wasn't supposed to happen. None of this!
There! The other car! Is that yours?
The front right wheel well. There's a spare key in a magnetic container. Get it.
I see the little plastic box he's talking about. I snag it and slide it open.
Got it! Oh God! I can't remember if I know how to drive! I guess I remember that much at least.
I'm gonna kill the little bitch. Don't talk, just drive!
It's practically a whiteout now.
No snowplow has been over these winding mountain roads that I can barely make out. Nothing but snow-covered trees to either side of me. My heart's in my throat as I white-knuckle the steering wheel. Oh, God! Oh, God!
Kid, you've got to slow down.
I glance in the rearview mirror and see the headlights of the car following me.
I can't! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God!
The car I'm driving fishtails as I round the bend, sending a spray of snow from the tires. But somehow, I manage to pull out of it. I glance up at the rearview mirror again.
Faster, man! I'm going as fast as I... Shit!
Yes!
In the mirror, I see the thug's car spin out in the snow and slide off the road. Then I look ahead down the hill. An intersection with a stop sign.
Crap!
No, don't brake!
Too late. Now I'm sliding sideways straight through the stop sign and beyond.
Enough of this. I'm cold and bleeding and pissed off. Let's kill this bitch.
Right there with you.
I climb out of the car, which is now wedged between pine trees. Across the intersection, my two pursuers keep coming on foot.
Can't stop moving.
Give up, bitch! Lie down and die!
Why? If you're there, tell me that much. Why do they want me dead? Who the hell are these guys?
The guy shouting is named Ross McKee, and he works for your sister.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Salazar. My father didn't tell me he'd asked you to pay him a visit.
Salazar's memories bombard me again, but I somehow managed to keep running. It's as if these images are superimposed over the snow-filled forest I'm moving through physically.
He called this morning, but he didn't say a word about why he wanted to see me. Can you shed any light on it for me?
In the memory, Salazar is following a blonde, stylishly dressed woman up the stairs of a huge house. It's Isabel.
I'm sure he'd rather have that conversation with you himself.
Now they're in an elegant hallway. McKee is there, scowling at Salazar as they approach a door.
He's the one who invited you, after all.
Salazar enters the room, and as he closes the door behind him, McKee and the woman are exchanging a conspiratorial glance.
Mr. Dabney?
Come in, Martin. I need to speak with you about my daughter.
The forest around me is completely gone now. These aren't Salazar's memories anymore.
Higher, Daddy! Higher!
I'm on a swing set, being pushed by strong but gentle hands. I'm older now, maybe 10, and riding a horse. I'm dressed in equestrian attire, familiar and comfortable. It's a few years later, and I'm pushing through a door into a study. I'm holding a small plate with a cupcake and a lit candle atop.
Happy birthday, dear Dad. Happy birthday to you.
You spoil me.
She's just returning the favor.
I look back, and standing in the door is the blonde woman Salazar was talking to before, but about 5 years younger here.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Dad? The world of the now hits me like a slap in the face. I continue to stumble forward, somehow unconsciously navigating the treacherous terrain. I reach out for the nearby branches of a tree, snapping them off as I keep myself from falling.
You hear that?
Damn right. You head that way. I'll go around the other. Try to get on either side of her.
I stagger blindly as more memories crash into my mind. I'm walking up the long driveway of a huge mansion. It's nighttime. There's a silver Lexus in the driveway.
Calexa!
Oh! There's a ravine in front of me. Maybe 7 feet across and 20 feet deep with tree roots and rocks sticking out. I was about to fall right into it.
I start working my way around the ravine, but the memories come roaring back. I'm back in front of the mansion. The doors to the Lexus open, and for some reason, I scurry behind a well-manicured hedge.
Thank you, Brian. It was a lovely night.
It's the blonde woman, Isabel, my sister. She's with an older man, nice-looking and well-dressed.
Oh, the pleasure is always mine.
They kiss.
So, you know what you need to do, right? I won't have to refresh your memory.
Come on. I'm not a fool, Isabel. Once I've done the dirty work, your father will have to resign as chairman. You just make sure you've got the votes amongst the board to take his place.
Oh my God. Isabel's head turns, and I duck back behind the hedge. I don't know if she saw me.
What is it?
Nothing. You do your part, that's all. I'll take care of the rest.
I take off around to the back of the house. I'm in the kitchen now. A huge, really nice kitchen.
There you are. Did you have fun at Jessica's?
Yeah, of course. How was your date?
Nothing special. And now it turns out I have to run back to the lab for something. Dad's not back until tomorrow, so why don't you come along for the ride?
I'm not 8 years old. I don't need a babysitter.
No argument from me, but I could use the company.
Okay, I guess.
Come on, am I really that bad?
Back in the present. I'm on my haunches now in the snow, tucked down behind a huge fallen tree. Salazar's immaterial form stands next to me. There's no need for him to hide, obviously. These guys, they work for this Isabel? My sister?
Stepsister, actually.
She sent them to kill me, to finish the job.
Isabel tried to kill you before? That's why you ran away?
I didn't run away. I died. Isabel and I are walking down the hallway of an industrial building. A sign we passed said Dabney Chemical. I don't see anyone else, not even security. We go into a room that's part laboratory. There are computers and cabinets and lots of shelving. One wall is a freezer full of test tubes and stuff. Isabel drops her keys on a table and strides across the room toward the freezer.
I thought we were going to your office. What'd you forget down here?
Isabel has the freezer open and is taking a test tube out with her left hand.
This is amazing stuff. Still in the testing phase. It's going to make the company billions.
What does it do?
You wanna know?
She elbows me in the gut.
Nosy little bitch.
Izzy, don't!
Isabel goes to a cabinet and takes out a plastic-wrapped syringe. Now she's using the syringe to draw yellow fluid out of the test tube.
I didn't intend to hurt you, little sister. But you shouldn't have eavesdropped on my conversation with Brian.
Why would you?
I've worked too hard for this. Can't have you messing it all up for me now. The drug's supposed to treat emotional disorders, like chemical shock treatment. Only without the electric bills and people biting their tongues off. What a massive dose might do? Well, I think we can guess.
All those times I said you were an evil bitch.
I'm not evil, kid. I just want what's mine.
Hold still, bitch.
Please, no!
Isabel.
Kid, you've got to run.
Tell me about my father. Did he hire you?
We'll swap stories later. Right now, you have to survive, and that means running.
I'm going, okay?
Oh.
End of the line, honey.
I drop down behind the fallen tree again.
Help me, Mr. Salazar!
Open your mind, girl. See what I see.
What are you, 5 years old? You can't just hide.
Samuels leans over the tree trunk toward me with gun in hand.
And Salazar can't help you. He's gone.
He hasn't gone far.
One hand grabs his jacket, the other his gun. I use the tree as a fulcrum and haul down hard.
shit!
The gun fires wildly as I rip it from his hand. I can feel Salazar's strength and confidence behind everything I'm doing. I smash Samuels across the temple with his own gun.
Little bitch!
He tries to get back up. He stays down this time as I take off.
Samuels! Did you get her? Sing out, dammit!
I duck behind a thick tree.
I can help you again, but McKee's not going to be so easily.
No worries. I've got this one.
Samuels, you stupid son.
I sprint out from hiding.
Hey! Enough of this shit!
I glance over my shoulder, slowing down so I don't lose him.
Come on, you bastard. Catch up to me. You can do it.
I can't wait to put a bullet in you.
It's just around this tree. I know it. So I run full out, arms pumping. I fling my arms wide as I leap and crash down on the other side of the ravine, tumbling in the snow. McKee has no idea the ravine is there.
Oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Until it's too late.
Shit!
The tumbling fall shouldn't have killed him, but...
I hope it hurt, you son of a bitch.
I wave my arms furiously at the headlights of the oncoming snowplow.
That your car, sweetheart?
It used to be. I'm pretty sure my dad won't let me drive it again until I'm about 1,000 years old. Please, can you take me home?
Well, I'm not supposed to do this, but I figure in this weather, I'm your best bet. Climb in.
You're a lifesaver. Seriously, you have no idea.
I'm so close to finding out who I am, where I belong. I know my stepsister Isabel tried to kill me in the lab of a company my father owns. I have a souvenir hidden in my right coat pocket to help keep me safe. Mr. Salazar died trying to protect me, but I'm not going to let anyone else die for me. This is my fight now.
Oh, you little bitch.
They took off with her before we could stop them, officer, and this man, Salazar, went after him.
Salazar? I know a private eye used to be a cop.
That's him.
This girl has been living in the cemetery? In this weather? You knew this?
If we'd reported it, she'd have taken off. And we're more worried about her life right now.
Excuse me for a minute. I need to take this.
Mind if I look around?
Be my guest. We're not hiding anything here. They'll find her, son. She won't make it easy for the guys who took her.
Men with guns? Dad, her only hope is Salazar. I wish we trusted him.
She's going to be furious when she finds out we've told the police about her.
That was the patrol car that made it up the mountain. Bad news, I'm afraid. They found Martin Salazar. He's dead.
Thanks for your help. Please, call us if you find her.
We'll call either way.
Well, no point standing out here freezing. Come on inside, son. We better heat up some soup. I'm cold to the bone.
She's out in this, Dad. Calexa!
Oh, thank God.
I'm so glad to see you. I didn't think I'd make it off the mountain.
We want to hear all about it, Calexa. But first, we have to tell the police you're safe.
You called the cops? Oh, God!
My hands go to my head as I fall back against the fridge. I'm sore and wet and disheveled and completely overwhelmed by all of this.
What am I gonna do?
Calexa, I'm sorry, but we saw those guys abduct you. What were we supposed to do?
I slowly lower my hands as I realize something.
Calexa?
No. You know what? Maybe it's okay. A lot of horrible things happened today. Those assholes took me, kidnapped me, or whatever. And Mr. Salazar, he died trying to save me. But I started to remember who I am. Minutes later, I'm sitting in the living room, a steaming mug in my hand. My torn jacket is hanging from a coat hook, and a well-loved knitted afghan is around my shoulders. Mason told me his mom made it years ago. Mr. Kellner perches on the arm of the sofa.
That tea should warm you up. Now, let's have it. What do you remember? Who dumped you here in the first place?
I don't have the whole picture yet. I'm just getting pieces of it so far. I have a sister.
Cool.
Well, that's...
She's the one that tried to kill me.
Oh. But where were your parents? Why didn't someone look for you?
That's the biggest question.
I don't have many of the answers, but I know this. My sister is a stepsister, and my mother's dead.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
I think my dad might still be alive. He's really sick, though. At least, he was. That's why Isabel sent those guys after me. She wants me dead so she can inherit everything. His house, his company. All this time I wondered who tried to kill me, but now that I know, I wish I didn't. I think I could have been happy, living as Calexa Rose Dunhill forever. I look at my own reflection in the living room window, and then it's not my reflection. It's Salazar. I close my eyes.
We ought to phone the lawyer, Mr. Griggs.
He can make some calls about your dad.
No lawyers, no police. Tell them.
Why?
Why?
Calexa, who are you talking to?
Your father's very sick, but not just his body. He's mostly all there, but his paranoia is out of control. When you vanished, he refused to go to the police.
I don't understand. He didn't try to find me? I'm back in that bedroom with the frail, sick-looking man. He's in a chair, but with an IV bag hooked up and a blanket over him, an oxygen cannula under his nose.
Of course he did. He's had me searching for you all along, but quietly. Your sister was supposed to be doing the same thing, but we both know how that went. He thought if word got out about his illness or your disappearance, he would look weak and his company would suffer.
Calexa? Hey, kid, are you with us?
Apparently, my father's company is more important to him than his daughter.
It isn't like that. He's been unraveling for years, mind and body. Just talking to him, it's obvious he loves you more than anything. I think the hope of seeing you again may be the only thing keeping him alive.
What?
But he's not gonna stay alive long. When McKee gets back and tells her what's happened, she'll know it's only a matter of time before the police get involved. She'll lie, of course. She's good at it. But there's only one way for her to make sure your father doesn't contradict her.
No. Calexa, what? I'll explain in the car, but we've got to go. My father's in danger.
What did you do with Samuels?
Dropped him in Mercy General. I told him to say he slipped on some ice.
You think they'll believe that? Won't call the police?
Well, I couldn't just dump him by the side of the road.
So she's really been in that cemetery all this time? Why would she do that? Why not just call and talk to her father?
I'm telling you, she had no idea who she was. No idea you even existed. Never mind that you were the one who dumped her there in the first place.
Oh, that's perfect. We were going to market that drug as a chemical alternative to electroconvulsive therapy. Rewrite brain patterns to treat mental illness.
What do you mean you were going to? Not anymore?
No, too many unpleasant side effects, even in low doses. Of course, I gave my stepsister a dose big enough to melt an elephant's brain.
But she's still alive.
You should go, McKee, before you make an even bigger mess of this than you already have.
Look, the girl's out there. Only a matter of time before I find her again. And Salazar won't make any more trouble for us.
He won't be coming back?
Not without voodoo or something. His lights are out for the...
excuse me for interrupting, Isabel. But your father is upset because he hasn't heard from Mr. Salazar. I don't suppose he's called you.
Don't get your panties in a wad, Brant. Salazar will call when he can.
Mason's car makes its way slowly through the snow. The headlights are barely able to cut through. We've passed a couple of cars going in the other direction, but the roads are pretty deserted. Mason is intent on driving carefully, but he's going as fast as he can without wiping out.
So how much more do you remember?
It started as a trickle, like someone put a little hole in the dam holding my memories back. Now they're flowing. Pretty soon it could be a flood, but there's more to it than that. Salazar told me some things.
You said they killed Salazar?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you know? Tell me about your family. Maybe that'll help you remember the rest.
We're getting off the highway onto an off-ramp with a big exit sign that is partly obscured by snow. My stepsister Isabel is a lawyer for DPC, the Dabney Palmetto Chemical Company. Salazar tells me, told me that since my dad got really sick, DPC is being run by the board of directors. He's chairman emeritus or whatever for as long as he lives. Isabel is his legal proxy. She speaks for him. Mason glances at me.
But she's the one who tried to kill you.
Mason, look out! Mason frantically turns the wheel as the car drifts towards the guardrail. The car's tires slew sideways, kicking up snow, the front end swinging in the opposite direction. Mason struggles to get it under control.
Holy shit!
Yeah. Maybe keep your eyes on the road.
Yeah.
Isabel made it look like I'd run away. Salazar told me she used my computer to write a note and forged my signature to it. The note said I'd never forgive my father for the way he treated my mother when she was alive. The letter told him not to look for me, that I never wanted to see him again.
But why?
She's not his daughter. Not by blood. He was going to leave her plenty of money, but Isabel wants more than his money.
She wants the company.
I see Salazar's reflection in the passenger window. We're driving through a huge pair of wrought iron gates. Once my father died, she'd be the executor of his estate. His share of the company would be held in trust until she could have me declared legally dead. Then it would all belong to her. I look down at my hands. Mason reaches out to put his hand over mine. I wanted so badly to remember, but this is awful. My father's not all there anymore. Salazar said he was unraveling, but I just want to see him. Let him see me so he knows I didn't run away, that I'd never do that to him. My memory's still spotty, but I know my feelings for him are complicated. No matter what, though, I don't want him to die thinking that I hated him.
You know, there's one thing you still haven't told me. Your real name.
No matter what I remember or what Salazar told me, down inside I still feel like Calexa Rose Dunhill. That's who I am now. You and your dad and Lucinda, you guys have been my family. Whatever happens, that won't change.
Calexa?
It's the mansion for my recovered memories. Stately and beautiful, but also remote and ominous.
Your home.
I know, okay? I should have left before it got this bad. Isabel's offered me a bed for the night, and I'm going... No, just stop. Please. She is the last person you should be worried about. You want me to die trying to make it home tonight because you've got these delusions? Hey, look, honey, I've got to go. Someone's at the door. Yes, in the middle of a blizzard. Could be the plow guy, I guess. You know what? Fine. You want me to try to drive home tonight? I'll do it. But if I get stuck in a snowbank, remember who's to blame. Man, it's going to be the death of me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come in, please. I just can't believe you're here. Your father is going to be so relieved.
He's alive, then.
Holding on. He's holding on. Let me just lock up, and I'll go up and get Isabel. Oh.
The gun I had hidden in my coat pocket is now pointed at the man's chest. You'll do no such thing.
Where did...
Let's go into the office.
Kalexa, don't! We came here to help your father.
Who is Kalexa?
That's a good question, Brandt. My guess is that Kalexa is the name of the ghost of Dunhill Cemetery.
A few steps below the top landing, Isabel looks down toward us in the foyer. McKee is behind her on the stairs.
Am I warm? Hello, Charlotte. Welcome home.
I turn and point the gun up at Isabel and McKee. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Mason holding up a hand toward the man Isabel called Brandt, silently urging him to stay put.
That's not my name. Not anymore. Come downstairs, both of you.
I have my back to the wall, covering Isabel and McKee as they reach the bottom of the stairs and step to one side in the foyer.
I'm sure Daddy will be happy to hear you're casting aside the name he gave you.
Don't call him that. He tried to be a father to you, but you've thrown away the right to call him yours. Sorry to see you here, Mr. McKee. I'd been hoping that you had broken your neck at the bottom of that ravine.
Don't worry, kid. It's the last time you'll see me. I can promise you that.
Brandt, I want you to call the police. Right now, please.
All right. What do you want me to...
Say whatever you want. But just so you know, Izzy tried to murder me. And then she sent McKee to finish the job. Mason, I'd like to see my father now. I've waited long enough. You need to keep them here.
Okay,
Yes, I'd like to report...
How am I supposed to do that?
Take the gun, Mason.
They're talking about murder.
If they try to leave or come after me, just remember what they've done to me. Both of them.
I won't forget.
As I pass the gun to Mason, McKee lunges for it.
Isabel, get out of here!
I'm not going anywhere. Get the damn gun and shoot them both!
Mason!
That's far enough, little sister!
She grabs a handful of my hair.
Let go of me!
Suddenly, I'm back in the lab again. My sister holding me down as she plunges the syringe into my neck, overpowering me.
Hold still, bitch!
But not this time. This time I duck down and go with the backward momentum, slamming an elbow into Isabel's gut.
Let go!
That's it. Swing from the hip. Put your weight behind it.
What the hell is going on?
It's my father's nurse coming down the stairs.
You people
He's
are-
got a gun! Go back upstairs!
Son of a bitch! Let go of the damn-
Isabel stares down in shock at the hole in her abdomen, where a red stain expands steadily across her expensive silk shirt.
Oh.
She slumps against the wall, sliding down it, leaving a streak of blood.
Oh my God! Isabel!
No! I didn't...
That's it!
Mason rips the gun away from McKee, finally winning the struggle over it.
You're done! Ooh.
Someone, please call 911!
Mason, I...
Go, Kalexa. Go see your father. I've got this.
I've called the police, but I wasn't the first. They were already on their way here.
Shit.
That'd be my father. No way he was gonna let this all happen without calling the cops.
I run up the stairs, desperate now.
He's this way, kid. You're almost...
Thank you. Thank you so much, but I know the way. I remember.
Well then... I guess you don't need me anymore.
He's smiling at me as he drifts up through the ceiling. Thank you, Mr. Salazar. Thank you so much. I'm walking down the hall now, tracing my fingers along the beautifully textured wall
Just like I used to when I was little.
Climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
Put the gun on the floor and back away.
Doing it right now.
We got a call about a girl in danger. Calexa Dunhill. Where is she?
She went upstairs, officer, to see her father. But that's not her name.
Daddy?
Daddy?
There's my little girl.
He was so handsome back then. Not young, but strong and healthy, with a firm grip on life. To me, he was the world.
Come and give your daddy a hug.
He's so much smaller now. So frail. My world is bigger now.
Who is it? Who's there?
But he's still my father. It's me, Dad. It's Charlotte. I lay my head gently on his chest. I feel his hand, light as a feather, rest on my back. I'm home. It's a bright, sunny morning in Dunhill Cemetery. It's winter and it's cold, but most of the snow has melted. I'm back in my crypt one last time, putting things I want to keep in a box to take with me. Sentimental things.
So, here's my big question. What do we call you now?
That's your big question? I'm Charlotte at home, obviously. But to you and your dad and Mr. Griggs, I'll always be Calexa. Hell, in my own head, I think of myself as Calexa.
I hate to say it, but I'm sort of glad. I know Calexa. I never met Charlotte.
I pick up the veiled hat I used to wear to funerals and place it tenderly in the box.
I'm with you. Pieces of my memory keep coming back, but it all feels like something I dreamt once instead of something I lived. Listen, are you sure you guys don't mind getting rid of the rest of this stuff for me?
Not at all. We'll donate the clothes and toss out everything else, if you're sure you can really part with it all.
Well, I'm taking some mementos. Most everything that matters is over at Lucinda's house.
It must feel pretty surreal, going from hiding in a crypt to living in a mansion with staff to look after you.
There are perks. I don't have to do my own laundry or steal clothes from mourners at funerals. But honestly, I miss the cemetery. I miss Lucinda's house.
She'd be proud of you, you know. Happy for you.
We're walking past the stone angel, and it makes me smile. In a bittersweet way. I know that. I do. I miss being here and having real friends. Friends I earned. I'm not the girl I was before Dunhill. I'm the person I became here. The person I made.
That person's not going anywhere, no matter what name she uses.
When we come to the empty fountain, I stop. Can we just sit for a minute?
Sure.
We sit on the stone rim of the fountain's basin and just take in the quiet beauty of the place. Old friends, Charlotte's friends, have been coming around. But I feel this huge distance from them, and I know they feel the same. I don't know them anymore, and they definitely don't know me. I'm starting over. The most important thing right now is that I be there to help care for my father. The doctors give him 2 or 3 months, and I want to spend every one of those days with him. The media is going wild with the story. Sister attempts to murder sister out of greed. Throw in wealth and the urban legend of the ghost of Dunhill Cemetery and... It's on TV and in the papers constantly. And I have to protect Daddy from that. I can't let him learn what's happened to his legacy. He'd die brokenhearted.
He thought you were dead. having you back, I suspect that's the only legacy he needs.
Maybe you're right. You know, I won't always be this busy.
You just worry about your father. You can come and visit us when you get the time. I'm out for the whole semester, so I'll be here.
Mason reaches for the box, and I put my hand on his arm. Mason.
I know. You don't need a guy to carry your stuff.
That's true. But that's not why I stopped you. As I was saying, I don't need you to carry my stuff. But I'm not going to stop you either.
Okay, then.
His hand is warm in mine as we walk together, the box tucked under his outside arm. You know, you could visit me, too, if you're willing to make the drive.
I am. I definitely am.
As we approach the house, Mr. Kellner is leaning against his truck, watching us, smiling. A subtle wisp of steam rises from his coffee mug.
Took you kids long enough.
I'll put the box in your car, Kalexa.
Thought you might need a hand, but I didn't want to crowd you. Looks like I made the right call.
You always seem to. Thank you, Mr. Kellner. Thank you for everything.
You just remember, kid, you've always got friends here. This is home, too.
I won't forget.
So, now that you're back home, what are you going to do with Lucinda's house? I mean, it's your house. Are you going to sell it?
I've been talking to Mr. Griggs about that. I think I'm going to fix it up, have it painted. But I'm not going to sell it. I figure someday I'll have a family of my own and maybe we'll want to live there. Of course, that's a long way off. Right now, I'm just taking it one day at a time. Taking advantage of the fact that, for the moment, nobody's trying to kill me.
Sweet girl.
She is.
Wants a family of her own someday.
Not another word, old man. Not another word.
I say a silent goodbye to my friends in the cemetery, living and dead. Both have helped me get to this day. When I pass through the front gates, I glance in my rearview mirror, gazing at the arched ironwork letters that spell out Dunhill Cemetery. It may be that one day another lost soul will seek my help, the way Marla's ghost did, the way Lucinda's did, and Salazar's. If that day comes, I'll do whatever I can to ease the pain and confusion of their passing. It's the least I can do. The ghosts of Dunhill Cemetery saved my life more than once. They did far more for me than I did for them. For so long, I couldn't remember who I really was. Now, I finally understand what I should have known all along. It's up to me. I get to choose. Whatever the future brings, in my heart, I'll always be Kalexa Rose Dunhill. I'll always be the cemetery girl.
This has been a graphic audio production of Cemetery Girl, Haunted. Copyright 2018, Charlene Harris Incorporated and Christopher Golden, DBA Daring Greatly Corporation. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the authors. Production copyright 2018, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. With performances by Emlyn McFarland as Kalexa, Nick DePinto as Salazar, Chris Stinson as Mason, Andy Brownstein as Mr. Kellner, Elizabeth Jernigan as Isabel, J.W. Roan as Mr. Griggs, David Jordan as McKee, Zeke Alton as Samuels, Lawrence Redmond as Tucker Dabney, Matthew Bassett as Brant, with Lily Beacon, David Harris, Lolita Horn, Todd Schofield, Kimberly Gilbert, Jacob Yeh, Tony Nam, and Barbara Pinellini. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Richard Rowan. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Cemetery Girl, be sure to look for the Marjorie Trumaine Mysteries series and the best-selling Brandon Sanderson series Mistborn, produced in 5.1 surround, stereo download, and CD formats, and thousands of other great graphic audio titles available from www.graphicaudio.net. And remember to check out Gasp, the free graphic audio story podcast, available on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,000 titles and 100 series to choose from in high-quality download formats. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can now conveniently purchase a download series set from GraphicAudio.net. At GraphicAudio.net, you can also earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable towards future online purchases. You can stream or get full downloads directly to your mobile phone or tablet with our newly updated Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. And be sure to listen to our new free Graphic Audio Story Podcast, GASP, featuring all new serialized episodes of a complete full-length story, along with episodes that feature short stories in our graphic audio format. Once you do, we're confident you'll want to subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and recommend us to your friends and family. You can subscribe to GASP through Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, and RSS feeds. Coming this fall, look for Graphic Audio Streams, our new streaming subscription service. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net.